Hi, this is Paul Marks, host and producer of Multifamily Matters. Today we're going to air the best of Multifamily Matters. It's a very educational and informative episode, so listen and enjoy the best of Multifamily Matters.
Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio, and we have a great show with two special guests who are extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. Today, we're discussing something that is not only timely to the multifamily industry, but important, and that is workload reshaped, trends transforming multifamily productivity. I have joining me by phone two longtime multifamily industry veterans, both sought after national educators and speakers, Jen Picotti, the president of Swift Bunny, and Kara Rice, vice president of education at Swift Bunny. Welcome, ladies.
Thanks so much for having us, Paul.
For some of our listeners who may not be aware, tell us a little bit about what Swift Bunny does, and then I'm going to make a comment on why I think that's important, but go ahead.
Well, Swift Bunny is really focused on people in multifamily. We want to help operators understand what's going on with their employees, what's going well, what's challenging for them, create that understanding so that they can best support their employees through ongoing employee feedback. And we're also taking first steps into providing resident feedback as well, so that companies are able to better understand what's going on, what's important to their internal, their external customers, and make good decisions so that they can be more productive and they can be more successful in this industry.
Yeah, and the reason why I think this is important, what you guys do is important, is my father, who was in the advertising business for over a half a century, used to always tell me, it doesn't matter what you think people think, it only matters what they really think. And you guys are at Swift Bunny are telling operators what their teams think, really think, and what their residents are really thinking. And you have to be able to know that in order to be able to improve and make the type of operation that you really want to have. So thank you guys for doing that, because that is something that I think is crucial. Now, I want to say that I reached out to you, Jen, because I saw a post that you made on social media, video actually, of you explaining that in a recent survey that you did, that you found that that people were not complaining about their workload in multifamily, which is really kind of not what I've been hearing from people that are there. So what are people really thinking about workload? That's what we want to talk about today. And let's talk about workload. Tell us a little bit about what you found.
Yeah, well, I think it's important to create kind of the backdrop and create an understanding of where we've been and where we currently are. And, in 2021, we were able to partner with NAA and do the first industry mental and emotional health study. And, we were just kind of moving out of COVID and all of those things and all the change and stress and worry that whole situation had caused. And we posed the question, we asked, how much do you agree with this statement? I rarely feel stressed about my workload. And 65%, so nearly a full two-thirds of rental housing employees disagreed. So meaning that they do feel stressed about their workload. So it's not a great place to be. We know that there's always going to be some amount of stress in any part of our lives, in any part of our work. But that was really, it really struck me how strong that was. 65% saying, no, I disagree with that statement. I actually do feel really stressed about my workload. We were also seeing that type of of data coming through on our employee studies with our clients. And one of the questions that we posed is, you know, are you able to get your work done in the time given? And the score was not great across the board in our Swift Money Index. And so what I looked at just recently in the past couple of weeks is that was really an area of focus and a lot of coaching that we provided to our clients to say, hey, this is really a huge area of opportunity. Team members are stressed out. They feel like they can't get things done. They're feeling overwhelmed. We're seeing it on the national level. We're seeing it on the client level. Here are some things that you can do to help better understand what's going on with your employees and how to best support them so that they're not feeling that level of overwhelm. And what we found is over the past couple of years, we had a lot of leadership among our clients really take that to heart. They really dove in and started asking their employees, okay, what is your biggest obstacle to getting your work done? Is it technology? Is it lack of support? You know, what is it that's causing the greatest burden? Or on the flip side, what are we asking you to do that's unreasonable? And so they got some really great practical feedback. You know, when they took the time to dive in a little bit deeper, they were finding out things like property managers who said, okay, it used to be that if there was a late fee from one of my residents and it was our fault, you know, the property made a mistake, I used to be able to approve the removal of that late fee. Well, now I have to go through all of this red tape. I have to make multiple phone calls. I have to send multiple emails. My resident is getting more and more upset with me. I'm not able to provide this service, and I don't understand what all this red tape is about. And so they were able to do a lot of this, you know, cut through a lot of the bureaucracy and make life easier, you know, in some of those ways. So those are the types of things that clients were able to dive into and kind of cut through some of the, you know, red tape and make life and work a little bit easier, evaluate some of the technology that was either causing more stress or maybe technology that would be more helpful. And based on those things, we saw an improvement in that particular area over the past 2 years by 5 points. And 5 points is significant because when we see an improvement of 2 points, that's when we go, yes, we're seeing improvement. employees are feeling like something is different. So when we see a movement of 5 points, that's like, wow, okay, we really moved the needle significantly. And employees are feeling better now than they were previously. So while the whole industry might not be feeling like the workload is better, what I'm saying and what I'm seeing is the companies who have focused in those areas, they've made a concerted effort to listen to their employees and make some actual changes. We are seeing that improve, and we are seeing employees feel relief in those areas.
And we've got about 3 minutes left in this segment. Kara, tell us a little bit about some of the things that you've seen in the last year or two. And I know I see you all over the country when we're at conferences and so forth. So what are you hearing?
Yeah, that's true. Thank you. So I'm going to play bad cop to Jen's good cop. I am delighted with that wonderful news that she has just delivered. But here's the perspective that I wanted to bring to the table here. It's a bit of a counterpoint, and that's this. If you are short-staffed, that can undo any of the positive gains that you have made with cutting through red tape or the other efficiencies that Jen has just described, because no amount of process improvement can compete with being understaffed. And that's a real challenge, and we know it is. We're a couple of years into this labor shortage, and it doesn't seem to be improving. And as I travel the country, you're right, Paul, I'm at a lot of conferences. I think I was in 6 different markets this fall and winter. And I always ask the groups that I meet with how they're doing on the staffing side. And I would say that on average, the response that I get from attendees when I'm presenting is that 50 to 75% of workplaces have an empty seat. Mm. So that's really a challenge, because when you're missing a staff member, it's really hard to manage your workload, and it impacts the entire team. So the staffing issue is real, it's pervasive, it's all across the country, and we absolutely have to tackle that head on if we want to make any meaningful long-term gains in making the workplace work well for our team members. And ultimately, that's what is required in order to sustain satisfaction and keep people in place.
We've got about a minute left. And Jen, based on what Kara just said, you know, one of the key words we hear all over the industry is centralization to help with those staffing deficiencies that the people are having. Are you seeing any movement in that area or getting any feedback from operators?
We're seeing some. We're seeing a lot of people try new things, which I think is fantastic. And there are some areas that I think people are finding real gains. For example, the assistant property manager. A lot of companies that I'm hearing from are saying they're finding some real positive in being able to centralize that particular role, an assistant property manager being able to support multiple communities. And so I think as we look and evaluate at each individual position, there are some that are better suited to centralization than others. So I'm excited to hear more and more about what's working in those areas.
All right. Well, we are going to break it here. We're going to be back right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Looking for a solution to balance your assets? Tired of wasted time managing your day-to-day bookkeeping, buggy software implementations, inaccurate financials? Or maybe you're worried about a pending audit. Would you like more time to focus on revenue-generating activities versus accounting administrative activities? Here at Balanced Asset Solutions, we are a CPA firm that specializes in property management platforms, including Yardi and Appfolio. You can reach Balanced Asset Solutions now at 619-415-6826. Go visit our website at www.balancedassetsolutions.com. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
SMART is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And today we're discussing something that is important and timely to the multifamily industry. Our topic is Workload Reshaped, Trends Transforming Multifamily Productivity. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone are two longtime multifamily industry veterans, both sought-after national educators and speakers, Jen Picotti, the president of Swift Bunny, and Kara Rice, vice president of education at Swift Bunny. I do want to remind our listeners, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to the archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Jen, we talked in the first segment about workload, how that's improving and why. And let's talk about leasing. You had indicated that what's old is new again. Tell us what that means.
Well, you know, it was interesting. I saw a post from Lisa Trozine on LinkedIn, and she was talking about an article she had read from Zillow where, you know, we're seeing year-over-year increases in rental concessions in 43 of the top 50 U.S. Metros. And that's pretty significant. And I was thinking about the cyclical nature of our industry and realizing, and I was kind of thinking through that, how many cycles of, you know, concessions and then, you know, strong markets. And I was like, oh my gosh, I've been in this industry longer than I actually want to admit, because I've seen these cycles. But I thought Lisa made such a great point in her post when she was talking about there's a lot of new people that are coming into our industry who haven't lived through this cycle before. You know, the market has been really strong over the past few years. And when it comes to leasing apartments, it's been kind of easy. You know, it's just kind of like, hey, what are you looking for? Here you go. And so when the market starts to change and there's a new type of skill set that is needed, and that's something that we're seeing when it comes to a training perspective in our employee feedback, not everyone is really getting that training that they need. And oftentimes, you know, we talked about high turnover previously and had a lot of employee vacancies, a lot of position vacancies that are coming up and creating challenges. Part of the challenge is when new people do come in, they don't necessarily always have the skills needed in today's marketplace. And that's something that from a leadership perspective, they really need to be aware that when it comes to training, when it comes to, you know, hiring on new staff, we really need to equip them in understanding it's not just about taking an order anymore. It's about understanding how do you sell? How do you overcome objections? How do you not only, you know, throw concessions at people, but really talk about the value of your community? What makes it special? What makes it convenient? What makes it a good match for you as a renter? And I think these are things that we're really going to have to pay a lot more attention to and focus a lot of training and really change the way we're talking about hiring and how we're setting expectations for these new employees that are coming in.
You know, and it's so interesting because you don't think about it that way. There's this generation of people who are our team members in multifamily who have not been through those cycles. And certainly I'm old enough to have been through several in the industry. But I can tell you that one of the things that is important for me, it's nowhere near as scientific as what you guys do. But, you know, when someone comes on our show each week and we're talking about certain topics, I can tell you, and I mentioned this during the break, that concessions has not been anything that anyone has ever mentioned on one of our episodes for a long time until the last couple of months, and it started to come back up again. So, I'm interested in your thoughts, Kara.
Yeah, it's so interesting, and you guys are taking me back because I started in this business in the leasing world in 1991, and I still remember that was a concession market at that time. I still remember dividing that 1 month's free rent, prorating it over 12 months, and that was how we sold it. And so I was in the same boat that you're describing, Jen, that leasing consultants of today are, which is I didn't know how to sell anything at the full market rate because it was always concessions when I got started. So it's really, really interesting. And actually, by the time the market turned, in my experience, I think I was in a training role at that point. So I first had to learn how to sell it so that I could teach how to sell it. But there's one other training opportunity that I wanted to bring up, Paul. And in conversation with associates when I've been going around the country to different markets and different gatherings, I am hearing another trend, and that is another training opportunity. Apartment community teams are struggling not just with how to lease apartments, but they're struggling with difficult customers. And I've had so many conversations with leaders who are telling me that residents are increasingly unreasonable, and they're really just tough to deal with right now. They're very uncivilized and sometimes even violent. In fact, I had a conversation with a multifamily friend in Richmond last month who told me about a property manager who got punched in the face by a resident.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was such a minor disagreement. Wow. It was over a mailbox key, if you can believe that. How that led to violence, it's hard to understand. But this is real. And when I talk with multifamily folks in any market, they tell me, yeah, that's happening. People just have extremely short tempers. It's really, really difficult right now. So I see this as a training opportunity as well. And it's probably beyond just for leasing folks, but really anybody who interacts with customers really needs some conflict resolution skills in order to be able to resolve conflict, to diffuse this stuff, and make sure that their workplaces are not so stressful, because that creates a really miserable work environment. So I think it's an important topic right now, and I think all management companies should tune into it, talk to their team members, and find out, is this happening? Is this true where you work? And what sort of investment must we make here in order to help resolve this? I want to give you one example. There's a group out of Indianapolis, and that is Glick, the Gene B. Glick company. Mm-hmm. So I saw a bunch of those folks recently at a conference in Indianapolis, and I know Julie Duff leads their learning and development efforts, and they have an in-house program to train their teams on conflict resolution. They use the Crucial Conversation Method. Y'all might be familiar with that book. And so I talked with some of the leaders there at a conference last month, and they told me that it really has made a positive impact and helped their teams to really resolve conflict better in the apartment community setting. So I think that that's a great idea, and I would encourage teams to consider doing something like that and giving their associates the tools that they need to resolve conflict. Because you can't really be satisfied at work if you're on edge, you know, and you're scared and you're dealing with bad behavior all the time. But if you have the skills that you need to diffuse that, then that can really be a game changer. And it can boost loyalty and tenure for the team as well.
Yeah, we've got about 2.5 minutes left. And, you know, I was thinking about when we were discussing the cyclical part of the industry. There's also another thing that seems to happen with the advancement of new technologies. And I'm not talking about good technologies like, you know, the types of software that they use, but the fact that people can go online and get a pay stub, you know, recreated so that they can go in and create fraud in renting apartments. That's got to, I would think, be something that people have to be trained and educated on how to look for and put stop measures in place. Have you heard anything about that in the industry as far as what people are trying to do? Jen?
You know, I've been hearing a lot about more and more tools that are being made available to identify that type of fraud, and I think that that's really a positive thing. The more tools that we have available that are trying to keep up or stay one step ahead of the fraud that's being created, I think that's a really good thing. One of the main things that I hear and what I appreciate from our clients is hearing from their employees that they feel that they have the tools, resources, and support needed to do their job well. And that's a score that's been consistently high. And I think when there's that level of trust between on-site team members and knowing that when they ask for help, they can get that help or get that support or get that technology that's going to help them, you know, identify sources of fraud or whatever the situation might be, that's a critical relationship that needs to be protected at all costs. So I'm seeing good things there.
Yeah, and the surveys that you guys are doing shows that there are operators that are taking notice of this, I would imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. And the ones that are being specific when they start to see some of the scores kind of take a turn and go downhill, the companies that are really on top of it and want to dive in and seek out more specific information, I really appreciate those leaders because you can tell that they want to support their teams, yes, to, you know, increase productivity and yes, to increase revenue, but also to really support their team members so that their teams feel like they can be successful in their role.
All right. Well, we are going to break it here. We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Elevate your apartment game with multi-housing news and their exclusive newsletters. MHN is the leading integrated resource for people and companies that own, invest in, develop, manage, and/or market multifamily real estate. Join the thousands of real estate professionals who trust MHN in their daily, weekly, and bi-monthly newsletters to keep them informed and inspired with property management trends, news, podcasts, and more. Find out more information at multihousingnews.com/subscriptions.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
We are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing something that is very important to the multifamily industry, and that is workload reshaped trends transforming multifamily productivity. I'm Paul Marks. Joined by phone are two great longtime multifamily industry veterans, both sought-after national educators and speakers, Jen Picotti, the president of Swift Bunny, and Kara Rice, Vice President of Education at Swift Bunny. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rev, the leasing management company. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. HappyCo, multifamily solutions to smile about. Control by Net, providing multifamily video surveillance and remote guarding, solving your security needs. And Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. So we talked in the first segment about the workload issues that the industry has, and then leasing, what's old is new again, where we talked a little bit about dealing with concessions and vacancy rates, which isn't something that has been prevalent in the recent years. And now let's talk about onboarding. And Jen, you indicated that's the greatest opportunity in our industry. Tell us a little bit about that.
It really is. And, one of our surveys, or one of the segments of our surveys for employees, really focuses on the first 90 days in a role. We survey the new hire in the first week. We survey them again after 14 days to check and see how things are doing. And then we survey them at the 90-day mark. To really get an understanding of how are they doing to get up and running in that new position at a new company. And one of the things that we have found that's been very alarming is the high rate of turnover in the first 90 days. So when we looked at all of 2023, we found that over 24% of maintenance staff left within the first 90 days. And in fact, 5% left in 14 days or less. When it comes to leasing agents, 23% left within the first 90 days. And so, we talked earlier about the staffing shortages in our industry and the problem that caused when it comes to workload and everything else. And so we work so hard within our industry to get these new people on board. And so to lose basically a fourth of them within the first 90 days, it creates such an increasing hardship. And so we're just in this terrible cycle of just trying to get people in the door, and it's just this constant, it's like the the drain on a tub. You know, it's not being stopped up. The water just keeps flowing through. We can never fill the tub up. So one of the things that we look at is, why is this happening? There can be a variety of reasons, but one of the things that really stood out is that 37% of employees in the first 90 days say that they are not given enough time during office hours to participate in or complete required training. So that's more than a third of these new employees saying, okay, I'm here, but you're not giving me the time to learn what it is that I'm supposed to be doing. And people can only tolerate feeling incompetent for so long. No one likes to feel stupid. No one likes to feel like they're an idiot. And so when you're put in a job and said, okay, do this job, but you honestly don't know what to do or what the expectations are, and you've got residents that are looking at you and asking you for help, and you don't know the answer and you don't know where to find the answer, that becomes really, really challenging. And that can be a really strong reason why people are like, okay, I'm out of here. The other thing that really caught our attention is that 33% of new employees saying that the training that has been provided hasn't helped them become effective at their job. So, for example, we are really good as an industry at making sure that people get fair housing training. We're really good at ensuring that people go through sexual harassment training. But that's really focusing on what not to do. Mm-hmm. So we tell them, okay, here's what you don't do. But what we need to really also equally be focusing on is, here is what to do. And so one of the biggest opportunities is looking at an onboarding process and really defining and laying out what needs to be happening on the first day, in the first week, in the first 4 weeks, you know, and really mapping that out through 90 days, because onboarding is not paperwork. Onboarding, you know, that's one component of it, but onboarding is really equipping an employee to feel fully competent so that they feel confident in the work that you're asking them to do, so that they can perform, because people do want to perform. They want to feel productive. They want to feel helpful. But it's really difficult for them to feel that way unless we have invested the time as an organization to ensure that they know what's expected of them and then how to go about doing it.
We've got about 5 minutes left, but I want to give you an opportunity to give your thoughts on that.
Thank you. Yes to everything that Jen has just said. And, you know, I'll back up just a moment and share with you that in conversation with multifamily leaders, what I'm discovering is there's so much frustration with what I will call new hire no-shows. We're extending job offers, and then people don't even bother to show up. So we need to be really clear-eyed about what we're up against when we welcome a new team member to the organization. And the fact of the matter is, they have options. They are likely have applied at multiple places, and ours is not the only job offer they have received, because that's the state of the labor market right now. So we cannot really rest on our laurels and think that a new hire is a sure thing. They are not a sure thing. They may never show up in the first place. So we've got to work really hard to start knitting that person into the fabric of our workplace even before they start. You know, it's a sales process. It is absolutely a sales process. And then once they do start, if we have the good fortune of them actually showing up to start, then we've got to work really hard to make sure that that onboarding process is well executed and is satisfying to the new hire, because we want them to show up again on day two and day three and week two and so on. And it is really a fraught time. So I have a couple of stats to share with you, Paul, that came not from Swift Money, but from outside the industry that I think are really impactful for this conversation. And these come from the Gartner HR group. And that's, you know, not multifamily specific, but they do surveys across all industries. So anyway, information from their most recent study shows that 50% of new hires say that they accepted a job offer but backed out before starting. That was 50% of the people in their survey.
Wow.
And then 35% of that group said they received four or more job offers during their job search. That's what I'm talking about, having options. So you can see why if somebody shows up on day one and it's chaos, they may not come back for day two because they have somewhere else they could go. And then the other one, the last one I want to share that I think is really, really powerful, 47%, that's almost half, of new hires say they are still open to other offers after accepting a position. So for employers, your work is not done when they start. It's really just beginning. So you've got to put the effort into that onboarding experience in order to ensure that this new hire feels committed to your organization and actually sticks around.
Yeah, I mean, those statistics are really eye-opening. You know, one of the things, Jen, and we've got about 2 minutes left in this segment, but one of the things that that I know I don't know if you're if you had conversations with some of your clients about this, but besides the stress and the added issues it caused for existing employees when you have this turnover, there's also a real financial cost to bring somebody on. It costs, you know, some amount of money to get them through that process for them only to leave within the first 90 days. Have you heard anything on that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the cost of losing an employee can be 30 to 50% of that position's salary. Mm. And so talk about a major drain. You know, people's time, there's the hard costs, you know, like background testing and those kinds of things. There's a lot of investment that goes into getting someone in the door and interviewed and up and running and all those things. And so when they leave on day one or before day one, it feels like you're flushing money down the toilet. So that really is a big concern. And hopefully that would be a big motivator to employers to think about that onboarding process, just like Kara's referred to, is that it really is a sales process. It has to start before day one, and it has to continue through those first days, weeks, and months, so that employee feels like this is a place that I want to be. This is a place where I fit in, I belong, I know what I'm doing, I'm contributing, and I'm getting a fair wage in return. All of those things need to be happening at the same time.
All right. Well, we will be back after this break with our final segment of this episode. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Say goodbye to pen and paper processes, labor shortages, and unhappy residents, and say hello to HappyCo, the only multifamily platform that supports every stage of your property lifecycle. Improve your portfolio with Happy Asset, the ROI-driving asset optimization solution for owners, acquisition directors, and asset managers. Manage your portfolio with Happy Property, a suite of intuitive tools that streamline operations, empower teams, and delight residents. Service your portfolio with Happy Force, an always-on remote maintenance workforce for multifamily specialists designed to increase resident satisfaction. Happy Co. Multifamily solutions to smile about. For more information, visit the website at happy.co.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
We're back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing something that is especially important and timely to the multifamily industry. Our topic is workload reshape trends transforming multifamily productivity. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone are two wonderful multifamily industry veterans, both sought-after national speakers and educators, Jen Picotti, president of Swift Bunny, and Kara Rice, vice president of education at Swift Bunny. I do want to take a moment and thank some of our other exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible, Balanced Asset Solutions, CPAs with expertise in multifamily property management, DirecTV, the ultimate entertainment experience, is now available to all multifamily residents, Smart Apartment Data, the most comprehensive and up-to-date intelligence on the multifamily industry, and CTS, Complete Technology Solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So in this final segment, we're going to talk a little bit about purpose with a lowercase p. What does that mean, Jen?
Well, you know, there were some years ago where a lot of organizations, a lot of people were talking about purpose with a capital P. How do we as an organization, how do I as an individual make the world a better place? And while I feel that that is noble and important, there's also purpose in my mind with a lowercase p of when I'm looking at my particular role in my particular organization, why does it matter that I'm here, that I do a good job? And I think what's important for us to do as leaders, as coworkers, is to help people understand why each individual matters. You know, the work that I do every day, it impacts my coworkers. If I do my job really well, if I bring my best self to work, if I'm diligent, then my coworkers don't have to worry about if my stuff's going to get done or not. They know that they can rely on me. And by knowing that, it takes stress off of them. They don't have to worry about it. They can focus on their work and doing their job really well, and they can be diligent about their work. And so one of the things that I'm really encouraging our clients to do is helping their team members connect the dots of why is their individual position or role important. And not only that, not only the impact that they have on just helping the team function well, but what is it that they individually bring to the table that makes a difference within their team, whether it's their coworkers, to their residents, to their supervisor, but really being able to connect those dots of understanding what is my purpose with a lowercase p, why does it matter that I show up at work every day and do my very best? So some of the things that we're seeing from a survey perspective and from an employee feedback perspective is, you know, 90% of employees have an understanding of what they need to do individually to be successful in their role. So they've seen their job description. They know what the tasks that they're supposed to do. But what's interesting to me is that when we ask, you know, do you have a direct impact on the company's ability to achieve its goals? Only about 80% agree. So one out of five doesn't really understand how their role has a direct impact on the company's ability to achieve its goals. And then even further, when we ask, are your efforts recognized and appreciated, only 74% agree. So one out of four don't feel that their efforts are recognized and appreciated. So I feel that there's a real opportunity of supervisors and leaders in general to be able to connect those dots and say, hey, what you bring to the table, your ability to, for example, maybe you're known as someone who's really good at grammar and punctuation, and everyone on the team knows that they can run an email by you and you can look through it and make sure that any communication that's going out to the resident is really sharp and really spot on and doesn't have any errors. You know, another person on the team might be really great at bringing lightheartedness to a situation so that when things get really tense in the office, maybe a resident coming in and you know, we talked earlier about some bad behavior, maybe someone on the team is really good at breaking that ice and calming a situation down and making everyone laugh. And that's what the team relies on that person for. But when we can understand how to connect the dots and show each person, hey, this is why you matter on our team. This is why we appreciate you showing up every day. You do these tasks so well, and your personality, your skills, your gifts make our team better, more productive, more successful. Those are the things that we want to really continue to help our clients and our leaders be successful at doing, because I think when team members understand their purpose, their position, that purpose with a lowercase p, I think that overall the team's able to perform so much better and make a more positive experience, not only from an employee perspective, but also from a resident perspective as well.
We've got about 3.5 minutes left before I want to transition to something else that I want to discuss with you. So, Carrot, give us your thoughts on purpose with a lowercase p.
So I love this. I take down purpose with a lowercase p, and I will raise it with a recognition with a lowercase r. And here's what I mean by that. For team members to connect those dots and see what their purpose is and how their purpose makes a difference, it requires leaders to recognize those associates for their contributions. So this is a leadership opportunity, and I encourage our clients and everyone I interact with, those who lead people, to be in daily conversation with their team members, constant feedback. And what I mean by that lowercase r in recognition is you don't have to throw a parade. You know, everybody doesn't need a trophy or an award or, you know, a designated parking space. What they need is the attention of their leader, and they need some feedback to know what they're doing well and how their efforts are impacting the greater good. So I think it's so important for leaders to be out there working among the team and interacting with their team members. And something that I always recommend is to make it your business to at least have a daily touch base with everybody that you supervise, even if that's just a quick good morning, even if it's by text, you know, if you are remote from the people that you lead. But it is really easy in our very, very busy apartment community workplaces for days to go by when you maybe don't even interact with someone. For example, if you're the property manager on a very large, busy apartment community and your porter comes in 2 hours before you even start the day, they're already out and about conducting their business. You know, you may not meet at the coffee pot. So you've got to go out of your way to make sure that you talk to that person. And in those conversations, give them some feedback. Tell them what you're appreciating about them. And that helps them to feel recognized. We don't want anybody to feel invisible. Helps them to feel recognized and to understand how their efforts are making an impact on the daily.
We've got about 45 seconds left before I want to transition. And just one final question as to Kara's point, Jen, communication is vitally important, isn't it?
It really is. It's probably the most important thing. And Kara and I were talking about this the other day. And not only incorporating this into the daily just feedback and recognition and thanks for being here today, but also using those performance reviews opportunities to be specific about this is what I appreciate about you. This is what I see, how I see you within the context of our team. That communication is critical on the micro level and the macro level, the one-on-one conversations and the team meetings of like, hey, guys, I see you and I appreciate what you're doing.
Well, we've got about 3 minutes left. I want to transition, as I do in every episode, and give you a chance to talk a little bit about how you got started in the industry and then tell us a little about what Swift Bunny's doing and how people can reach you if they want to. We'll start with you, Kara.
Oh, great. Did you ask me to share how I got started
Yes.
in the industry, Paul?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. So I stumbled in. I stumbled in because the apartment community where I lived was hiring. And I legitimately thought, well, that looks easy enough. I can do that until I find a real job. So, yeah, that's how I started. And I was a leasing consultant. And it didn't take me long to figure out that this was indeed a real job and a very satisfying one. And it led to all sorts of good things for me. So I had kind of the natural progression from leasing to assistant manager to property manager, moved into a training role. And my goodness, yeah, I've been able to parlay that kind of accidental position into a 30-plus year of very satisfying career.
Yeah, not an uncommon story from what I've found out over the years. How can someone reach you if they want to reach out to you?
Oh, great. So you can find me on all of the socials. It's Kara Rice. And the easiest way to reach me directly is via email. That's kara@swiftbunny.com.
All right. And Jen, tell us a little bit about you and also about Swift Bunny and how people can reach you.
Well, I stumbled in as well when I first moved to California in 2000. I was applying for a bunch of different jobs, and a recruiter invited me to come in and interview for an executive assistant position for, at a property management company. And I was like, well, I guess I just need to, you know, I'll use it as a practice, practicing my interviewing skills. And little did I know, you know, I went in at 8 o'clock in the morning for an interview. I didn't leave until 2 o'clock that afternoon after I had met everyone in the building and gone to lunch with the guy that I would end up working for. But I was able to really learn so much, being the executive assistant for the VP of property management for Shea Properties. I worked my way into a quality management position to really focus on streamlining things and efficiencies and policies and procedures and resident satisfaction. I got to take all those angry resident phone calls. But working with the property management team, I really developed a great love and appreciation for what they do, providing homes for so many people. I made the transition from there, from the property management side to the resident survey side. I worked in resident surveys for a number of years, over 10 years, and then came over to this side on the employee survey side of things. So I got a really unique 360-degree view of our industry and how everyone interacts with everyone else and impacts everyone else. And that's what I love, is really creating that understanding of, you know, what we do from the property management side, the employee side, has such a significant impact on the resident experience and vice versa. And that's where we are now with Swift Bunny, of really providing a platform where we can gain employee feedback, help create understanding between employees and the property management teams. And now we're taking next steps into getting resident feedback. And in the first quarter of 2024, I'm really excited to announce that we're going to be going into the resident survey side of things. And what's most exciting to me about that whole prospect is that you'll now be able to see how your employee feedback is doing side by side with the resident feedback. Because what we find is that what's happening with the employee side of the business is truly and directly impacting the resident side of the business. So when things are going really well with your employees, I guarantee things are going to be going really well with your residents. And so getting that feedback side by side, you can really make some great strategic decisions on how do we best support our employees so that they can best support our residents.
How can someone reach you if they need to?
I would love to hear from everyone. You can contact me on all of the social medias, Jen Picotti, and you can contact me directly at jen@swiftbunny.com. I would love to hear from you.
Fantastic. Well, thank you guys so much for being on the show today. We are going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.